Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Al. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yes, we had a wonderful time yesterday. It was nice. Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you just keep on celebrating. It's not over yet now. It is not over. We want to wish you a happy birthday from the Partnership of Ministries here. Happy birthday, Brother Al, and thank you for all that you do and that you provide to us. We thank you.
Thank you so much. Yes, ma'am.
As the military says, we thank you for your service, sir.
Yes, ma'am. They say that.
I know. We truly mean it.
Right. Yes, we had fun. There was cake. There was food. We were at the bowling alley. The families was there. It was really good. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Awesome. Amen. Just a couple of announcements prior to us starting. First, we want to say Happy New Year to all of you. What a wonderful start to the new year. We had a wonderful time in the Lord, our New Year's Eve, and then on into New Year's Day. The Lord just truly blessed us in terms of songs and preaching and teaching and testimony and just your presence on the line. What an awesome time we had. Just want to thank all of you for joining with us, participating, as well as being a part. The second announcement is, please keep in mind, we will observe the Lord's Supper on today. And we ask if you would please go ahead and have your elements in place and ready for that, your hand sanitizer in place for us as we go into our second half. The third announcement is our foundational scripture this morning comes from Psalm 10. Psalm 10 this morning, and we are going to look at the topic, Our God Reigns in Times of Trouble. Our God Reigns, R-E-I-G-N-S, in Times of Trouble. As I said, our foundational scripture this morning certainly will be Psalm 10. But there are going to be other scriptures to provide to you to encourage you as disciples of Christ, kingdom citizens, and ambassadors of Christ to know that God reigns in times of trouble. And if God reigns in times of trouble, we too, as his children, we have the victory, Brother Al. We are more than conquerors, and we are triumphant. Amen, amen. Good morning, good morning. Good morning. Want to say again, Happy New Year to you. Good morning.
Happy New Year.
Amen. Happy New Year, Pastor Reggie. Good to hear your voice this morning, sir.
And happy birthday to Brother Al. I did hear that. Amen.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. We celebrated him yesterday. We're going to keep on celebrating Brother Al. Amen.
Amen. God bless everybody. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We are going to go ahead and press forward with our announcements. Please continue to keep all our families, those that have experienced promotions in their family, those that are in need of continued comforting and strengthening. We are thankful, Sister Gloria Brown, her family, they have arrived safely back in Macon. They went to celebrate the life of a family member. And they have arrived back. We continue to come alongside Sister Ruby in the promotion of Mr. Willie B. Mr. Willie B's promotion, as well as those that continue to care for their loved ones, those that are caregivers. We continue to pray for them, lift them. as ambassadors for Christ, knowing that God will never leave us, knowing that God will never forsake us, and he is with us. And so this lesson this morning, this message this morning, talks about crying out to the Lord and knowing that he hears and knowing that he answers prayer. So as I said, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning. We're going to open with Psalm 100. I'm going to ask Pastor Reggie if he's in a place that he can lead us in prayer this morning. We will have the reading of our scripture by our sister, Sister Wanda. And then Brother Al will come with songs of praise. What an awesome day. This is the first Sunday, you all. The first Sunday in the new year. Sunday, January the 5th, 2025. And I'm just shouting for joy this morning. I can't wait to get started as we dissect into the word on today. So we're going to open with our scripture this morning coming from Psalms 100. And as it speaks about a psalm of giving thanks, it also speaks to us about God's steadfast love, whereas that it endures forever. Psalms 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Pastor Reggie.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for this time to come on this line, Father, united as one, to lift up your holy and righteous name, for surely you are God from everlasting to everlasting. Yes, God, your mercy endureth forever, and you are faithful to your people. Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you do in our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that you protect us. You take care of us. You minister to us, oh God. So we come before you to worship you, Father, to praise you, God, and to give adoration to your holy name. Father, we thank you for having made it through another year. Father, 2024 on the calendar of our world has passed. Father, we enter into a new year, 2025. And Father, we know that in Christ we will thrive in 2025. Father, we ask that you continue to bless us in this ministry, Father, the gathering place beyond the walls. Father, we pray, Lord God, that you bless us, Father, as we focus our hearts and minds on praise, prayer, and ministering of the word through teaching and preaching. We pray, Lord God, that you will bless our messenger today, that we would hear from on high, that we would hear something that would encourage us as we begin this year, Father. Father, we know that you reign in this time of trouble. Father, we just pray, Lord God, for all that you do amongst us, that we might be in glory and honor to your name. Father, we celebrate you as we celebrate life that you have given us, eternal life, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for sacrificing your life for us on the cross at Calvary, that through your blood and through your sacrifice, we now have eternal life because we believe in you. You are the Son of the God, the living God that lives in us. And Father, we thank you, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you just make it a wonderful year for us, Lord. We just look forward to you. We know there are challenges ahead, but Father, we walk through valleys, but we know that you're with us because you are our shepherd and you keep us safe. So glory and honor be to your name, and we praise you today. And we ask that all that we do would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you are our Lord, our strength, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Reggie. Amen. our sister Wanda, reading of our scripture.
Good morning, Psalms 10. Why, Lord, do we stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In arrogance, the wicked man hunts down the weak. We are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the craving of his heart. He blesses the greedy and reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. Our laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. He says to himself, nothing will ever shake me. He swears, no one will ever do me harm. His mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. He lies in wait near the villages. From ambush, he murders the innocent. His eyes watch in secret for his victims. Like a lion in cover, he lies in wait. He lies in wait to catch the helpless. He catches the helpless and drags them off in his net. His victims are crushed. They collapse and fall under his strength. He says to himself, God would never notice. He covers his face and never sees. Arise, Lord. Lift up your hand, O God. Do not forget the helpless. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and take it in hand. The victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked man. Call the evildoer to account for his wickedness that would no otherwise be found. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations will perish from his land. You, Lord, hear the desires of the afflicted. You encourage them, and you listen to their cry, defending the fatherless and the oppressed, so that merely earthly mortals will never strike again, strike terror. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, my sister, for reading in our hearing this morning, Psalm 10 on today. Thank you again. Brother Al, our song of praise this first Sunday. Good morning. Happy birthday again.
Thank you. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend to friend. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross that narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, blessed Lord, to thy cross There art has died. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Al, for that song this morning. Draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Thank you again. Thank all of those that have joined us here at the Gathering Place on the first Sunday in 2025, January the 5th. And we are giving our Heavenly Father praise and honor. We are thanking him for his mercy, thanking him for his grace, thanking him for his provision, for his protection, for keeping us, for regulating our minds, for ordering our steps, for comforting us as well as strengthening us, and so many other things. It is a humbling experience today to come before you again this first Sunday in 2025. And we want to speak this morning from the topic of our God reigns in times of trouble. Our God reigns in times of trouble. Our foundational scripture, for those who may have just come on the line, which was read in our hearing this morning by our sister, comes from Psalm 10, Psalm 10 this morning. I want to go ahead now and give you some scriptures I believe that will support the teaching and the sharing and preaching of this message on today. It underpins this message that speaks to us as disciples, as ambassadors, as kingdom citizens, that our God, Brother Al, he reigns in times of trouble. As a matter of fact, our God reigns forever and ever and at all times. The scriptures I want to give this morning to underpin this message is Psalm 27, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 27, verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 14, verses 11 and 12. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. Nahum chapter 1, verse number 7. All of these support and underpin our word today. It's an awesome word, you all, to open up the first Sunday in 2025 when we as disciples, ambassadors, need to stand on this year knowing that our God reigns, that our God is in full control. There is nothing out of control. There's nothing that God is not aware of, that God does not know. And we are going to see a lot of things and hear a lot of things. But I will suggest to you that you turn down or turn off ABC, NBC, and all of these networks that talk about all the bad things that are happening. Yes, we must be aware. But let me tell you, our God is in full control, and our God sees and our God knows the heart and the intent and the motivation behind each person. He's in control this morning, and we need to understand that as children, ambassadors of God. Yes, this morning, as we look at Psalm 10, Psalm 10, one of the things I want to share about Psalm 10 is that the penman of this particular psalm, Sister Wanda, is unknown, even though many have ascribed it to David. But one of the things that I see in this particular psalm is that the penman, whoever it was, he cries out to God amidst the troubling presence of the wicked, seeking answers and divine justice. Pastor Reggie, this psalm is considered to be a psalm of lament. lament. What is a lament, Minister Deborah? A lament is a prayer expressing sorrow, pain, or confusion. Psalm 10 is a lament psalm, a crying out to God in the midst of suffering at the hands of a doer of evil deeds. Yes, the ways of the ungodly. The reason why I asked my sister to read the entire Psalm, Psalm 10 this morning, because when we see the first part of Psalm 10, it looks a little bit dim, it looks a little bit distressful, but it's so important that you hang on in there and finish reading the complete Psalm. Yes, this is a psalm of lament, a psalm where the penman cries out to God in the midst of suffering, in the midst of what was going on at that time. I will say to you all in 2025, 2024, we have been crying out. We have seen the injustices. We saw the Floyd case. We saw the Breonna case. We have seen people in prison right now sitting there. They have been prosecuted. They have been persecuted as well. And they have been sentenced to something that they did not do. Yes, we continue to see the injustices, Uncle John, that goes on. But I want us to know this morning that God sees and that nothing is going to go without him bringing it to bear. Notice, not only this morning, this is a psalm of lament, crying out to God. You all know when you go to 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, we see the crying out. If my people that are called by my name, that's a crying out to our God. Jeremiah 33, it says, if you call on the Lord, he will answer. Notice this morning who the penman addresses his lament to. He calls out to God. In this word this morning, we are going to see some of the attributes of God. We are going to see God's compassion. We are going to see God's long-suffering. Some of us right now on this line say, God, when are you going to hurry up? When are you going to do something about the injustices of local government? When are you going to do something about the injustices that we see in the White House and state government? When are you going to do something about the crime, the violence that we see in the street? God is letting us know that God is a God of long-suffering. And Pastor Reggie, I'm so glad he's a God of long-suffering, because when I was out there, I wasn't saved, and God had long suffering. He had compassion for me. He had mercy for me, Brother Al, and he extended grace to me. So we see long suffering and compassion in our lesson this morning. Here's something else that we notice that the penman addresses in this psalm of lament, this psalm of crying out to God in the midst of suffering at the hands of a doer of evil deeds. We observe something else, Minister Braxton. We observe active faith on the part of the penman. It's an active faith. It's not a faith that is not activated, but it is one, because he lets me know when I'm in trouble who I need to call on. He lets me know when I'm going through the storms of life, trials and tribulations, who I need to call on. I don't make a call to the White House to talk to the president. I don't make a call to the mayor and try to get in with him and talk to him. But the psalmist this morning lets us know who we ought to cry out to, who we ought to take our problems, our situations to this morning. Yes, we observe, Brother Al, my sister and brother, Sister JJ, we observe an active faith this morning. Here's something else, Uncle John, that I observe in this psalm. We observe our trust must be in God. Our total trust. Write that down this morning. Not only do we observe an active faith, but we observe that our total trust must be in God. In times like these, in times like these, you got to know that you got a Savior that you can call on. You got to know that you have a Savior that hears and answers prayer. Notice this, something else I observed in this psalm this morning, that the psalmist knew that God hears. The psalmist knew that God sees. The psalmist knew that God understood us. And something else the psalmist lets us know this morning is that he will act. God will take action. Yes, may not be in our timing, and it won't be in our timing, but I want us to know this morning that divine timing is seen in our lesson this morning. We see that God established time in the lesson this morning, but I want to remind us that God will deliver justice to all. Something else the lesson, this word this morning provided to me was that I am never alone. I'm never abandoned by God. God is never at a distance, and God is never not concerned about what's going on with his children. Yes, Pastor Reggie, Uncle John, Sister Ruby, Sister JJ, Sister Glory, and others on the line, I know that we are all children of God. And let me tell y'all something. God can hear all of our prayers at one time. God can hear and see our praises all at one time. So this morning, I want you to know something, that you are never alone. You're never abandoned, that God is never at a distance where you cannot reach him. You cannot touch him. You can call on Jeremiah 33:3. You can call on the Lord and he will answer. Always remember this, Sister Gloria, that God is always concerned about what's going on in your life. What's going on around your household? What's going on around in your territory this morning? This is what Uncle John, I got from it. I kept looking at this lesson. I went back and had to read the whole passage of the lesson. The Lord was speaking to me. He said, yes, it may look like this. It may look like I don't see what's going on. It may look like I'm not doing it. It may look like I'm unconcerned about what's going on. But let me remind you that I reign, that I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. And I see everything that's going on. And let me tell you that God will. Thank you, Lord. God will deliver justice to all. This morning, I see something else in this passage of scripture. It calls us to take a stand for what is right. It causes us to stand up for justice. It causes us to have the confidence in God's eternal power. You all got to know this morning that God is all powerful. You got to know that cattle on 1,000 hills belong to him. You got to know that the silver and gold belongs to him. You got to know that the earth is the Lord. The world is his and all that is within it. The Lord is saying to us in 2025, you got to seek my kingdom. You got to seek my righteousness. You got to seek my faith. God is speaking this morning through Psalm 10. He's speaking to us this morning that he tells us that we too got to take a stand for what is right. We got to stop going along to get along. Going along what you know when it's wrong, it ain't right. You going along so you can get along, so you can still be friends. And it ain't no argument. It ain't no chaos. But let me tell you, ask God to show you how you need to approach it, how you need to talk to the person about it, how you need to handle it. God will do it through he, Holy Spirit, on the inside of us. This morning, what a mighty lesson for a first Sunday. He says, stand up. Stand up. Have confidence in God's eternal power. We, Pastor Reggie, we got to be agents of divine godly change. We got to stand up and be agents, change agents. You want situations to change? What are you going to do about it?
We cannot keep doing what we're doing, and we want God to come in and do the very thing. He has given us the power. And as my cousin talked about on New Year's Day, he's given us the power, and he's given us the authority to be able to do it. We are kingdom children this morning. We are kingdom children. We are ambassadors for God. And we want God to come in and do the very thing that God has given us the power to do, Acts 1 and 8. He's given us Holy Ghost power. He's given us dynamite power on the inside of us. And he said, I've given you power so that you can be witnesses. Witnesses for who? Witnesses for me. Witnesses of the biblical principles and the truth of the word of God. Yes, this morning. This morning, as the psalmist starts out with this psalm of lament, a psalm of calling and crying out to God. This ain't no just simple a little prayer. This is a weeping. This is a wailing. This is a heartfelt. This is the thing that he's calling out to God. He's crying out to God. And let me tell you, I don't know if he wasn't fasting along with it as well, but it's a crying out. When you get in a desperate situation, you ain't tiptoeing around God. You cry out to God. You get before God. You bring fasting into the place. There are tears running, lapping under your cheeks. There's a crying out to God because we see the desperate situation we find ourselves in. And what about you all this morning? In 2025, we need to cry out to God, but we also need to take responsibility of what God has called us to do, what he's put in our hands to do. Lord, I thank you that you've given me the power. I thank you you've given me the confidence. I thank you you've given me the boldness. I thank you you've given me the humility to carry out what you told me to do. Stop, we got to stop asking God to do the very thing he's given us the power to do. Hallelujah this morning. As we look at Psalm 10, it lets me know that God's got a master plan. He's got a master plan, Brother Al. And when I look at that song, it says, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me, thou grace. Though the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me, whom have I on earth beside thee, whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. When I look at this psalm this morning, Psalm 10, it reminds me that God will not pass us by. So as we open it up a little bit more today, I see something again that our God reigns in times of trouble. As I mentioned earlier, the penman, Uncle John, is unknown, even though many have ascribed it to David. But the penman cries out to God amidst the troubling presence of the wicked, seeking answers and divine justice. I don't know about you all, but there are some wicked people in this world. There are some people that would do any and everything. There are scammers in this world. There are false prophets and teachers in this world. But notice what the psalmist does this morning. He cries out to God, the all-knowing, all-sufficient, almighty God. Notice this. Start with verse number one. Notice some more observations that we gather from this lesson. The first observation is we see a heartfelt cry, Mother Cora, a heartfelt cry. The penman, he expresses a profound sense of abandonment and desperation. Yes. He expresses this. He feels this. And that's why we can't go on our feelings. God is God no matter how I feel. I may feel good today. I may feel chipper today. I may not feel the best today. But I want us to know God does not go on feelings. God is who God is no matter what day it is. So notice this. The psalmist, the penman, he first gives us a heartfelt cry right there in verse number 1. Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Notice this heartfelt cry that the psalmist is showing and sharing his feelings this morning. He's sharing what's going on. He sees the situation going on, and he says, Lord, why are you standing so far off? Lord, why is it that you're acting as though you are detached from what's going on? Lord, why do you hide yourself? Why do you hide your strength, your power in time of trouble? You see what's going on. You're Elroy. You see everything. The penman cries this heartfelt cry. Sister Glory, he expresses a profound sense of abandonment and desperation. Why have you left me, Lord? Why have you left us out here by ourselves? Let's keep on going this morning because this ain't the end of the story. The psalmist, again, as I said, he sees God. He's feeling as though God is at a distance. The psalmist calls for God's presence and intervention due to the wicked. We are invited to bring our feelings of abandonment and frustration to God and trusting that he hears even our most desperate cries. Yes, we as disciples, ambassadors, we are invited. We can bring those feelings that we have. I want us to understand this morning, we don't operate on feelings. We operate on the promises and the biblical principles and truth of the word. God is who he say he is. And even though situations may look the way they look, let me tell you something. I'm not going to major on my problem in 2025. I'm going to thrive in Christ Jesus in 2025 because I'm going to focus on his promises. Uncle John, I'm going to look to his face in 2025 because I'm going to thrive in Christ in 2025. So we are invited, notice this, to bring, yes, our frustrations, bring our feelings of abandonment, knowing and trusting that God hears even our most desperate cries. Again, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people that are called by my name. Notice this. Something else, Sister Ruby, I observed. Not only the heartfelt cry of the penman there in verses 1 and 2. I observe, as I keep going, Sister Wanda, the psalmist, as he points a stark picture of the wicked. He paints a picture this morning. Notice, starting with verse number 2, notice all the way down to verse number 11, how the psalmist paints this picture of wicked people. I don't know about you, but maybe you can check mark some of these things as I describe them this morning. As the penman, the psalmist cries out to God and tells him about the wicked. Here's what he says. Look at verse number 2. In arrogance, the wicked hotly pursue the poor. Let them be caught in the schemes that they have devised. For the wicked boasts of the desires of his soul, and the one greedy for gain curses and renounces the Lord. And you can keep reading those verses all the way down to, as I said, verse number 11. But let me give you the highlights. Here are the highlights. Uncle John, observe how the psalmist points this picture of the wicked. The first thing he tells us that the wicked is arrogant in verses 2 through 4. He's all about him or herself. and boast about their malicious schemes. They are cruel. They devise the schemes intentionally to trap those that are poor, those that sometimes are not watchful, some of those that they have gotten the trust of, and they devise a scheme so that they'll be able to take what they have. Y'all know the Ponzi, the Ponzi scheme that they talk about, how people say how much money you can make, and you can be a millionaire or a billionaire if you do this thing or that thing. Y'all have heard about the pyramids and all of this. This is what the psalmist, he speaks about those that are malicious. Listen to me. Those that are malicious, those that devise schemes to be able to take from those that are poor, those that are cruel, those that openly defy God, saying God is not God and God ain't going to do nothing to me. I'm bigger than God. Something else he says about those that are wicked. He says they are covetous. They major in covetousness. They prey on the vulnerable. They persecute the poor. They are predators. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know some wicked people. If you don't, you've seen some of them on TV, some of the stories we watch, and some of these crime stories we look at, FBI, CSI, and all of these things. The wickedness, they prey on those that are vulnerable. They persecute the poor. They are predators, God. Their pride blinds them to their need for God. I want you all to write that one down. Their pride. Believe in who they are. Believe in they are bigger than God. I'm not talking about nobody this morning, but y'all know some of these people. I'm not going to get in politics this morning, but we know some of these people. They rest you all in various places. Some they rest in the schools, on your job. They rest in this place or that place. But their pride, notice this, Sister Gloria, their pride blinds them to their need for God. What they say is, what I got is what I was able to get on my own. I got it because of my education. I got it because of my investment. Notice this. The psalmist talks about the wicked. He talks about how they prey on the vulnerable, how they take advantage of poor folk. They live lives as though God does not exist. Isn't that something? The wicked, they live like God don't even exist. That they have false hope. They have no room, Brother Al, for God. That they, as I said, they are full of pride. The psalmist continues by describing the apparent success of the wicked. We've seen his description of them. Isn't this something that we see, even though this psalmist was written hundreds of years ago, we see this very thing going on right now. Don't we? Yeah, I love God's word because he's telling me, Deborah, in 2025, you're going to see this, but you got to seek my kingdom. Matthew 6:33. You got to seek my kingdom. You got to seek my righteousness. Because all of this, even though the penman, the psalmist wrote it then, is still going on now. We got to be careful, y'all, because there are some swindlers out there. There are some schemers. They scheming right now. Scheming how they can call you on your phone and tell you your child in desperate need of your grandchild, and they know how you feel about your children. They're in desperate need, and they need you to send some money. You need to go and buy some gift cards from the Walgreens or the CVS. I know what I'm talking about. This Christmas, I bought some gift cards, and I bought a number of them, and when I got to the Walgreens counter to check out, the lady asked me, she said, now, you ain't buying these cards because somebody called you on the phone and told you about a family member, this or that. I said, no, ma'am. They still running schemes to intentionally take advantage of us. Oh, look how the psalmist talks. He said, God, they ain't got no room for you. They full of pride. They boasting on themselves. They act like, Lord, that you don't even exist. But notice this, they feel, Lord, that they are invincible and that they are untouchable. You can't even touch them, God, because they know what they're doing. They can even outsmart you. Oh, look at the psalmist this morning. They believe he said, they believe they are free from trouble forever. They believe you're not going to do anything about what they are doing. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to even bring justice to them. They're going to be able to keep doing what they're doing. They're going to be able to continue to pound down on the poor. They're going to continue to be able to take advantage of the poor, and you're not going to do anything. But I want you all to know this morning, God is in control. God sees, and God is in charge. And God says, I'm going to bring justice for all, but it's going to be in my divine timing. It's going to be my divine timing, Deborah, when I do it. So let's go on. The psalmist delves even deeper into the behavior of the wicked. Notice their malicious speech, Sister Ruby. Notice what comes out of their mouth. Look at verse number 7. His mouth is filled with cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue are mischief and iniquity. Notice this. What comes out of their mouth. Notice the behavior of the wicked. Their mouths are full of cursing. Their mouths are full of lies. Their mouth is full of threats. Trouble and evil are on the tips of their tongue. This person is absolutely, they are evil to the core. They stir up trouble. That's what they do. They sit around and figure out how they can stir stuff up. Have you ever seen people like that? Finding how they can bring about a malicious gossip, malicious speech, bringing up our past, putting together lies that are not even true. But, oh, just hold on. Just a minute this morning. Notice this. This represents their corrupt hearts, Sister Ruby. When I look at them verses 7, look at verses 6 and 7. It talks about their heart. Their hearts are corrupt. They prey on the innocent and the helpless, ambushing them like predators. Look at that verse right there, y'all. Look at verse number 8. He sits in ambush in the villages, in hiding places. He murders the innocent. His eyes stealthily watch for the helpless. Notice this about, as the penman writes about the wicked, he talks about them ambushing people as though like they are predators. They are like lions. They are like hunters. They are waiting in the dark so they can take advantage of the innocent and the helpless. They don't mind committing fraud. They don't mind taking PPP loans and then acting like they're standing up a business, a cosmetology business, or this business, and then they don't mind taking that money and doing the very thing that they are not supposed to be doing. We see people in prison right now, people that are sitting there who've done and committed these kinds of things. We observe the delusion of the wicked. Look at their mindset. Pastor Reggie, they believe that God is absent, and they continue their evil ways without fear of accountability. And let me say something this morning. We know some people that we have gone to, and we have told them, Uncle John, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to stop taking advantage of those people. You need to stop taking the money from those when people get their SSI check. They get their disability check. They get their food stamp. And you know that they're not able to distinguish certain things. You know they don't know how to count money. You know they don't know how to use a new card. And you take advantage. We have gone to people that we know that are doing wicked things. We know that they are doing terrible things. And they have said to us, some of them, they have said, look, this is my business. I do what I want to do. And that kind of thing. And some folks, you've gone, they didn't say anything. But they keep doing what they are doing, as though God does not see them. Oh, this morning, this lesson digs deep. It first, God ministered to me about the lesson as I ministered to you this morning. They believe in their own little mind that God is absent and that they can continue to do what they are doing without the fear of accountability. I want us to know this morning, we are going to have to give an account of what we do. They continue, these wicked ones, they continue themselves, and they act with impurity. They act as though, look, I'm in charge. God don't tell me what to do. I got it made. They believe God is not watching. I'm concerned. I'm praying. I have a prayer that I'm praying as we look at the deportation of immigrants and separation of family and children and mothers and fathers and their children. I got a great concern this morning about that. I got a concern, a prayer that I'm taking into my prayer closet as I talk about those that are poor, those that are needed, those that are operating in poverty. God has called us to be change agents this morning. And if we are going to be change agents, you've got to spend some time in your prayer closet, some focused, intentional time, not just praying about your three and no more, your four and no more, but we got to pray and be change agents where we can. We got to stand up with confidence and boldness and humility, knowing that God is operating through us. This is not just a sad story of conditions in the world, but God is calling us on the line this morning to do something about it. He's calling us to carry out Matthew 25, 35 through 40, feeding and clothing and visiting those that are in the hospital, those that are incarcerated behind. But he's also calling us to stand up for what is right. Let me go on. Notice this. They believe, the wicked believe, that God is not watching, that God is not caring about their actions. But we as kingdom citizens must see beyond just this. Oh, I love it, even though I get down to verse number 11. Look at verse 11. It says, he says in his heart, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face, and he will never see it. That's a poor man or woman who believe God don't see. It's a poor man or woman that believe that God is not going to do something about it because they continue to do what they do. They don't care. They don't care how reckless they are. They don't care what they say to you because they got a few coins in their pockets. They don't realize that a cow on a thousand hills is the Lord. They don't realize them coins that they have, they belong to God. They are reckless. And when people get reckless, when they get so powerful with authority, when they can look down and press down on you, but oh, they forgot about, I'm a child of the King. See, I'm going to talk about myself this morning. I'm a child of the King. I am an ambassador of God. And when I'm aligning to his will, I'm aligning to his way, I'm aligning to his word, God's going to do something about it in his divine timing. Look at verse number 12. Oh, look how the tide turns, Uncle John. First, we're talking about the wicked and all the stuff that they are doing, that the mentality, the mindset they have. But, oh, look at it. There's a turn in this story. I love it, y'all. I love it. It says, it's not as the world turns, but as the word turns this morning. Look how it turns in verse number 12. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. Why does the wicked renounce God and say in his heart, you are not called to account? But you do see. Oh, look at verse 14 this morning. But you do see, for you know mischief and vexation, that you may take it into your hand. To you the helpless commits himself. You have been the helper of the father. Notice the turn. It's as the word turns this morning. All you got to do is hang on in there. Notice something this morning. Here's what I observed in these last verses. Brother Al, looking at verses 12 through 18, this is what I see. I observe that the Lord is King forever and ever. That's the first thing I see, that as a kingdom citizen, I have to see beyond what the world is showing me, that I can see with my physical eyes. But this is when you put on your spiritual eyes. This is when you have spiritual discernment. This is when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you and say to you, Deborah, this ain't going to last always. God sees, and God's going to do something about it in his divine timing. Yes, Let me say this. The wicked may prosper for a time, but they will not escape God's judgment. They think that they are prospering because of the trick and because of the folks they get in the room and laugh about that they're taken from. But notice this. They will not escape God's judgment. We must trust in God's timing and justice, even when we don't see immediate results. How many of us want God to hurry up? God, when you gonna do something about it? When you gonna stop there? When you gonna stop this or that? But what we have to understand is we are called as disciples to trust in God's timing. I'm gonna stop there this morning and let us breathe a little bit. Stop in. It says that we got to trust, Sister Wanda, in God's timing and justice, even when we don't see immediate results. God is a long-suffering God. God desires for that person who's doing these things. He desires that they will be kingdom children. I know some of us this morning may feel like Jonah. Jonah said, I ain't going down there, No, I know how them people are. As a matter of fact, they hurt some of my folks. You know what? I don't care if they all go to hell. But God is saying he's a long-suffering God. He was long-suffering with us. He extended mercy to us. He extended grace to us. And God is giving them an opportunity to change. But, listen to this morning. We have to trust in God's timing and God's justice, even when we don't see immediate results. Here's the second thing, Uncle John. God's constant presence is with us. He's already told us in the word of Hebrews 13:5b, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. He told us in Matthew 28:19-20. He told us to go. He told us what to do. And then he told us, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to always do what? Be with you. Something else, God's constant presence is with us. We are called, we on this line are called to live righteously, knowing God sees and cares about our actions. We are called this morning to live righteously. We are called to live by the biblical principles and the truth of God's word. That's what we are called to do. Let me tell you, the enemy don't care how much you go to church, how much you sing, how much you read your Bible. He wants to destroy your witness. He wants to destroy by putting things in your mind and in your heart to start doing that you've been delivered from. Let me tell y'all something. God will bless you as you align to his will, his way, and his word. You don't have to do nothing underhanded. You don't have to take advantage of nobody. I'm here to tell you this. Well, I'm a living witness of it. I know that God will bless. I know I've seen the blessings of God. And let me tell you, they're not all in trinkets. They're not all in this mass accumulation of stuff. But God blesses us in love. God blesses us in kindness. God blesses us in the fruit of the Spirit. And when those see the fruit of the Spirit coming alive, just keep on working. Somebody come up behind you at the store and say, tell the cashier, say, I won't pay for their groceries. I got this. Somebody come up behind you, you getting ready to pay for your lunch. I got this. Let me tell y'all something. God has got to have that refrigerator. It's supposed to go out in 15 years and it starts clicking and a clucking. You go in there and lay hands on it and say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I need some more years on this refrigerator. You know what's in my bank account. As a matter of fact, it belongs. I've seen God do it. Had a copy machine. We had a copy machine down at the ministry. The other day it started acting up, Uncle John. Guess what I did? I asked the executive director, I said, have you laid hands on it, start praying for it? She said, oh, no. She said, let me do it now. And let me tell y'all, I was able to print the stuff I need to, and it's still printed. It got some tape on it, but that's all right. We got to understand that God is constantly present with us, but we got a responsibility to live holy. We got a responsibility to live righteously, knowing that God sees and knowing, Minister Braxton, that God cares about our actions. Here's the other thing that I see as I read those verses 12 through 18. We must be agents, change agents of justice and compassion. We got to be the change agent. We got to show compassion for those that are downtrodden, those that people walk by and act like they don't exist. We got to be the people that are change agents that begin to be their voice for them, to be able to be the voice that speaks the word of God. If we want the world to change, then we got to put the word on the world. Here's the other thing, trusting in divine justice provides peace and confidence in God's ultimate plan. Let me say that again. Trusting in divine justice provides peace and confidence in God's ultimate plan. The fifth thing is we must show compassion for the helpless. Aligns us with God's heart for justice. We must show. We got to stop talking about, I wish I could do that. I wish I could go and do it. No, we got to put some action behind our words. Because without action, they just words. Notice this. This tells me to this morning as I read those verses starting with 12. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Forget not the afflicted. And he talks about why does the wicked renounce you, God, knowing that I know that you are the God, all-sufficient God. I know that my faith is in you. I know that my trust is in you. But, oh, look at verse 15. Break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. He's not talking about physically breaking their arm. But what he's saying is take away their power, take away their mischief, take away the authority that they have to do what they are doing. He says break the arm of the wicked and evildoer. Call his wickedness to account till you find none. Notice how this is a prayer this morning. This is a calling out to God. And he said, break the arm of authority, break the arm of power that is being used against people to hurt people, to harm people, to take advantage of them. But, oh, look at verse 16, Uncle John. The Lord is king forever and ever. This is talking to us as kingdom children. We know who our king is, don't you? He's the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He's the one that's all-powerful, all-sufficient, all-knowing. He is the one that sees, and he's the one that's going to act. The nations perish from his land. Oh, Lord, you hear the desire of the afflicted. You will, notice this, you will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed. Notice what the Bible talks to us about orphans, talks to us about widows and how they are to be treated and how they are to be cared for, so that man who is of the earth may strike terror no more. It's going to be over, you all. It's only for a little while. And somebody said, well, Deborah, how long is a little while? I don't know. But I know this is in God's divine timing. What God says is over, it's over. But notice this, we as disciples of Christ must turn to know that our King is an everlasting King. We have to turn and we have to know that God will strengthen us and know that God hears us and know that God is going to do justice for those that have been downtrodden, stepped on, and taken advantage of. Let me get ready to close this morning. We must show compassion again for the helpless. But notice this, we got to align our heart to God's heart. There's got to be some alignment this morning. There's got to be some alignment in our lives in 2025. We got to align. We want to thrive in Christ in 2025. If you want to thrive, then you got to align. You got to say, I'm getting rid of this old junk that's in my closet. I'm getting rid of this junk in my trunk. I can't carry around unforgiveness. I can't carry around this and that that does not honor God. I got to get rid of the junk in my trunk We got to do some winter clean out of our closet. We got to get rid of some distractions in our lives. Get rid of the stuff that keeps us from focus on what God has called us to do. Here, let me say this. Let me assure you that God is not blind, and he will certainly judge evil men, even if he doesn't do it as swiftly as we might and won't or expect him to do it. Let me say that again. Let me assure you that God is not blind, and he will certainly judge evil men, Brother Al, even if he doesn't do it as swiftly as we might want him or expect him to do. Let me say it again. God is not absent. God is taking note of the enemy's mischief. God has his reason for delaying judgment on these men and women. God sees what they have done. So how do I apply this word to my life this morning in 2025 if I'm going to thrive in Christ Jesus? I got to have faith in God. As a matter of fact, I got to have total faith and total trust in God. The second thing is to apply this to my life this morning. I got to remember that God is on the throne. Mother Neal, we got to remember who's on the throne. See, we talk a lot about our problem, but we need to start talking about the problem solver. We got to turn the world to the word. Notice this, God will be the helper of those that are weak. Knowing this, we must confidently entrust the execution of judgment to God and his timing. Somebody might say, well, God, you too slow. I'm going to go ahead on and fix this myself. Let me tell you something. You can't fix nothing. All you're going to do is mess it up. We need to wait on God. God has told us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So all we need to do is get busy in the vineyard. Notice is knowing this. We must confidently entrust the execution of judgment to God and his timing. The Lord is king no matter what is happening. He is always in charge, even though it may appear that sin and chaos is prevailing, but God is in charge. There will be a time that ungodliness will be stopped in its sinful tracks. But remember, God is in charge. That God, it is in God's divine timing. When we observe this message this morning, this passage, beginning with a sense of frustration from the psalmist, Sister Wanda, we see his frustration, we see his anguish. It seems as though he's upset. He's calling out to God. He calls out about, but it ends. Notice how the story ends. My life started out a bit bumpy, you all. My life started out this way. But guess what? It ain't going to end up the way it started out because Christ Jesus lives on the inside of me. Notice even in this passage, yes, it began with a sense of frustration. Notice that first verse. Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? But notice how it ends. Look at that verse 16. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations perish from his land. O Lord, you hear the desires of the afflicted. You will strengthen their heart, and you will incline your ear. I want you all to know this morning, yes, we saw a call to action even on our behalf. We are called to be change agents for God. So how and what do I walk away with, Brother Al, my sisters and brothers on the line this morning, Sister JJ, Sister Gloria, Sister Ruby, Pastor Reggie, and others this morning? What do I walk away from this lesson this morning, Mother Neal? I walk away with this, that we must turn to God first in prayer. We must turn to God first in prayer, requesting action and asking God for intervention. We got to call on the Lord. What did the song say? Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. We have to turn to God first in prayer. This shows where our faith lies. We need to always turn to God first, not going by the woman's house on the side of the road that got them palm hands on the outside, not calling the 1-800, the 1-888 number, but we got to call on the Lord. We need to always turn to God first. Here's the other thing we get from the lesson today to apply to our lives, that God sees all that is going on. He's El Roi. The arm, the power of the wicked and the evil man will be broken. It ain't said it might be, but it will be broken. The power of the wicked will be broken by God. Their power is not greater than our God, my God, your God. The plans of the ungodly will never overcome the purposes of God. I'm going to say that again. The plans of the ungodly will never overcome the purposes of God. God has plans for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. He has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. But you've got to align. I got to align myself to the will, the way, and the word of God. Don't you want to be prosperous? Don't you want to thrive in Christ in 2025? Well, to thrive in him, we have to align to him. Here's the other thing. Keep in mind, the Lord is always king, and he always maintains power and control. Our Lord is the king. He was never voted in. He will never be impeached. You will never be able to take him out of office. You will never be able to be richer than he is. You will never have more power than he has. You'll never have more control than he has. He says that the earth is mine, the world is, and all that is in it. The Lord hears. Here's the other application this morning. The Lord hears us, Sister Wanda. He hears us even when we don't utter any words out of our mouth. He hears those groans. He hears those moans. He hears us crying out to him. He hears the desire of the afflicted. Jeremiah 33:3, as I shared this morning, he hears and he answers. Here's the other thing I gleaned from the lesson this morning, is that the Lord strengthens us, Uncle John. He strengthens us. He comforts us. He order our steps, but we got to stay in step with God. We say, order my steps in your word, Lord. We got to stay in step with the word of God, and that the Lord does justice, the fatherless and the oppressed. So this morning, as I come to a conclusion of our word today, we need to seek God's guidance, our closing prayer today. We need to seek God's guidance, God's wisdom, and God's power, that we may be advocates for the hurting and that we will be champions for social justice. We will be champions. We will be champions for God. We will be champions and carried out Matthew 28:19-20. We will do it with confidence and boldness and humility, knowing that he, Holy Spirit, is working through us. God is saying to us in 2025, if you're going to thrive in Christ in 2025, you got to be the ambassadors. You got to be the salt and the light, the reflection of the light of me that lives in me. He said, when you call on me to ask me to do something, he says, I've given you power. There's something that you've been given power so that you can do them. Lord, I thank you for giving us the boldness and the confidence that we have to surrender ourselves and be the agents of change and offer compassion and be willing to take a stand, be willing to be a voice for righteousness in this land. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. God be the glory.
Of the core. Amen. What a word, what a lesson, what a message to start the new year off, Mother Cora. And Dr.
Amen.
Dale, that's such a powerful message to start the year off. Yes, we ended 2024. We're going into this new year. We need to know that our God reigns in times of trouble. We don't know what's up ahead, but we're walking by faith, not by sight. I just thank God for this message this morning. Like I said, that psalm just spoke to me in so many different ways. That whole psalm is powerful. I'm going to go over it again a few times. And just powerful. It speaks to what people may be feeling. You know, things are getting ready to change. There's a change of administration. There's a change of the year. Things are changing. We don't know what the future. And we know that the wicked are always thinking of things that they can do to oppress those that are in need. And I just thank God for this psalm, Dr. Deb, but you spoke to it. We wonder why the Lord hasn't intervened and done what we may feel he should do. But if he's reigning and he's sovereign, then he will act, Mother Cora, in the time that he sees necessary to act. And I just thank God for this word. I'm looking forward to even hearing what Uncle John will bring to us today. It's been a blessed morning for me. Like I said, just remembering in that pride, the wicked man does not seek God. Yeah, because in his thoughts, there is no room for God. And some people are just wanting to take advantage of others. The victims are crushed. They fall under the strength of the wicked. But God is in control. And we must remember that. You said so many things, Dr. Dale, that were so powerful. You know, I think you said something about, you know, as you were speaking about Jonah. And I thought about Jonah as you spoke that, you know, he said on that juniper tree, he didn't want to go in the beginning. And at the end, he still wanted God to take care of him. But God is in control. God knows the heart of the wicked, and he knows our hearts as well. So we want to make sure that we are doing what you're saying, staying in step with God. I like that. We got to stay in step with God's word, what he's telling us and showing us through his word that helps us today, trusting in God's timing. Yes, I want God to do this. I prayed for God to do some things last year, coming into this year's, particularly the election. I had prayer about that. So we're going to continue to pray to God. We cry out to God, but trust his timing, trust his will, trust his purpose. Yes, the wicked has plans. They are planning. And like you said, we sometimes get caught up in listening to the news and what they're saying, and sometimes we want to tune into the station that says what we want to hear. It's hard to listen to the other folks talking about what we don't want to hear. But but whatever's being planned by the wicked one, God knows, and he's still in control. So I thank God for that message. I said I want to kind of keep my thoughts here short if I can, but I just know that it's powerful. It spoke to us. And as we're moving forward to be agents for change, he said, agents for change. I like that. You know, we should be agents for change, and we should be agents for the poor and oppressed. That is something that God expects us to do. Whatever we have in our power to do, we should do that according to his will. So I thank God for this message, this word, so powerful. Like I said, it helps to ignite us, because we need to look forward expectantly, expecting God to do something. And we should expect to thrive in 25. We should not look at the new year. We know there'll be things that will come, obstacles and things, but we are still thriving because we're in Christ Jesus. He is our rock, our shield. God is our sovereign Lord, who is there and reigning in the times of trouble. So let us continue to help one another, pray for one another, encourage one another on the way. Amen. Amen. That's my thoughts today. Amen. Mother Cora, you have any thoughts? Amen.
Good morning. Recognizing.
Good morning.
All on the line this morning. Thanking Minister Singleton for Dr. Minister Singleton for pouring out her heart to us this morning. And the first thing I recognize is, do you know, I noticed that the wicked, when they know how to seek, they'll come to the believer when they're in need.
Mm.
So that's the first thing that hit me is you need to know where your help come from. The wicked man, they don't have no problem. If I need, he is saying, if okay, I need $40. I know that this brother over here got it. So he'll walk right up to you and ask for it. So that's, to me, he's seeking. And that, as a believer, that's what I have to do. I have to first know where my help is going to come from, and I have to seek that help. I can't just sit there and depend on my help to just drop on me because I'm there and I'm in need and I'm too proud to ask God to supply what I need when he already told me he'll do it for me.
Yes.
So that the main thing is the believer, we have to trust God for his word. But you can't trust him if you don't know the word. So if you don't know the truth, then you can't step out on it. You have no truth, you have no faith because you don't know. But if we continue to study to show ourselves approved unto God, we'll know that God is there and he'll supply whatever we need. But it's by him being the king. He's over the kingdom.
Yeah.
And he provides from his kingdom, not from ours. We can't give him ideas and suggestions for the way that we want it to be done because the plan is already set. Everything is already in place. God doesn't do like we do, wait till the last minute to get things set up, and he planned all of this before he brought us into existence.
Yeah.
It's already prepared. Now all we have to do is study to show ourselves approved unto him to know what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And we, you know, one of the fruit is perseverance, obedience, loving, patience. All of this comes right back to us because we have studied this in the word and we know this is how we are supposed to go about doing this. We can't get up and make God do anything on our time because he's the king and he already knows.
Yes. This is
thank you for your words of explanation and opening up our hearts and our minds to stop looking to things through the eyes of the world and look through the eyes of the King, our Lord, our Savior, who knows what's best for us, already plans for us. But see, people, if you listen, you hear people that say that they are kingdom bound, but they sound like they are doomed already.
All right, then. All right. That's good.
And, you know, they started talking about, leave it alone. God has a plan. And that's what we need to be praying. the plan of God, knowing that he is already taking care of it.
Yes.
I thank you for your words this morning.
Yes,
well,
what do we expect, Mother Cora? What are we expecting him to do? You just said it, and Dr. Singleton covered it in her message. You know, there's a power that worketh in us, and we can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. We got to ask. We got to think.
If we do it, you got to
do it. Amen. Amen. We got that. We got to do what we can do. That's what Dr. say. We can't just sit around waiting. You know, we have to also. We wait patiently for God to move, but we're also active in doing, because waiting actually, like somebody's waiting a table, they're active in waiting.
Right.
They're waiting the table. They're doing something, serving.
Right.
Hallelujah. So we need to be active in that waiting, doing what we can do.
And
I being positive. I like that. Not being defeated in our conversation.
Yeah.
Amen.
Don't be like the man that was drowning, and every time God sent him help, he turned it down.
Come on.
He said he waiting on God. But God has already God has already supplied what you need. So we have to have eyes to see. And that's our spiritual eye.
Yeah.
We have to have ears to hear, which is our spiritual ears. We can't live and look at things the way the world does, because that makes us right on the level with them. So we're bringing more burden upon ourselves. When we're sitting and worrying, when God has already told us that he has everything under control, because I'm the king. I made all this stuff. I know what's going on. Just you. But when he said be patient and wait on me, don't sit there and do nothing. Keep praying. Keep believing.
Come on now.
Those are the things that causes God to move even quicker than he do if you sit there doing nothing, complaining, grumbling. That doesn't get nothing done. Thank God for that. We know that you already have taken care of it. Thank you, God. In your time, whenever you be here, I know it'll be the right time. I'm okay. Next verse.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Pastor,
amen.
Go ahead. It's all good.
It's a good word. It's a living word. It's living in us. It's good.
Yes.
It's good, Mother Cora.
It's
amen.
Like, Pastor Reggie, what Mother Cora brings to mind to us is this, is that as the psalmist was sharing, starting in verses 1 through 11, we didn't stay there. What if we had just cut the lesson off today, just looking at verses 1 through 11, just looking at the wicked and what they were doing and how they were doing.
Oh, my goodness.
But we have to give, the hope came when we start looking at verse number 12, and the psalmist said, let me show you all something. Even though this is happening, let me tell you who the King of Kings is. Let me tell
Amen.
You who could flow. Let me tell you who hears our prayers. Let me tell you who strengthens us. Let me tell you who's going to bring justice to all. Isn't it?
Yes.
Sometimes we stay at the worry state or the complaining state of whether Mother Cora is right, is that we got to move from that. And this, and if we're going to thrive in Christ in 2025, then I got to put the word on my situation. Every situation, Mother Cora and Pastor Reg and others, every situation come in my life, I'm going to put the word on it. I'm going to find a scripture that I'm going to put that scripture on my situation. Too many times we identify what the situation is, a circumstance or trial, but where did you go into the word and find out what God says about your situation? Find out what God says and what he promises you about your situation. And I guarantee you, you'll be just like the penman of Psalm 10. He may have talked about it from verses 1 through 11, but then he says, arise. That means some action getting ready to happen. Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up your hand.
Yes,
lift up your hand. Arise. So this lets me know is that we got to move people away from, yes, this happened. Yes, this is going on. I don't deny that. But let me take you to what God says, what God promises, what God will do. But as you just said, Pastor Reggie, it's the serving piece of it. Like you say, I go to the restaurant, Longhorn. That server comes to take my order. That server brings me my food. That server brings me water. That server is in action during that whole period of time.
And so you don't know what they're going through.
There you go, Mother Corey. Oh, that's good right there, Mother Corey. That's another aspect of it.
They don't come in there letting you know that they in pain. Some of them is in such pain, their feet hurt. But are they there complaining? Oh, my feet hurt. They moving. They study moving.
There you go. They move. What can I get for you? If you go to a good restaurant, what can I get for you? Do you need this or do you need that? Oh, let me get you, fill your water. Oh, let me get you. I noticed you all need some more bread. Oh, I noticed this. And you're right, Mother Cora. Some of you can look down, their feet swollen, about to pop out the shoes. They had to work a double shift because somebody else didn't come in. You see the tiredness, but you're right. What do they do, Mother Cora? That's a spiritual look this morning. That God gave me that. They keep on serving. They keep on serving. Sir. What can I do for you? We are so glad you came. Please come back again. That's what you're right. We as servants of the Lord, ambassadors, we keep on serving, even when our feet are swollen, even when we got our children and our grandchildren are going haywire or whatever, we keep on serving.
And we have to make this known to our brethren. When they come dragging with all of this nay, nay, yay, nay, nay, nay say, we have to stop agreeing with them. We cannot agree with them.
Come on now. Come on.
We have to let them know who we are. But, you know, when they come, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, well, I know what I'm going to do. God said blah, 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 blah. And you cut it off. And you help and encourage them, too, because maybe they just need a little awakening, opening. Maybe they have closed their eyes a little too long, and they aren't letting the light come in. But if you stop and say, "Oh no, this is what I'm gonna do, girl," don't you remember what the Lord told us? We gotta wait on Him. He's here. He's our present help.
Yes. Oh, yes, there you go, Mother Corey.
Not only are they strengthened, that's two of us together. We are strengthening each other. So that's two that won't go. When they go to somebody come to them, then they'll have, girl, no, don't do that. Mm-mm. You know, and that's the way the word keeps moving, by encouraging each other. Well, that's what I see anyway.
Oh, you see it. You see it, Mother Corey, because you're exactly right. That's one of the things that the word triumphant. Pastor Reggie, I called him one day and I said, "How you doing today?" He said, "I'm triumphant." And even though I knew what he was going through and what he was facing and meetings and that getting in front of these senior leaders and all of this and them doing all kinds of stuff, but he said to me that day, "I'm triumphant." And ever since then, Mother Cora, I said, somebody asked, I said, "I'm triumphant. I'm victorious. I'm more than a conqueror."
Yeah, I got
situations going on. Yeah, everybody. Here's the thing, you are. Everybody got them. Everybody, whether you in it, going through it, just came out of it, we going to have them. We going to have them in 2025. But guess what? We got the word to put on that situation so that I can say, "I am triumphant."
Yes.
Because God already gave us. He told us. He warned us that these things were coming, and we would come. They will come.
Come on. Yeah.
So why do you think he warned us if they weren't so? He said, "If it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you."
Yeah. Go ahead.
But that's I'm telling you so you'll know and prepare yourself for these such times as this. You don't need to be sitting underneath no tree crying and looking like you don't know who you are. Better get up.
Yes, Lord.
Lift them hands.
Yes, Lord.
Praise God.
They that wait upon the Lord.
That's right. And I guarantee your strength will come. You'll have strength. You it'll blow your mind.
Yes.
Two minutes ago, you were sitting there looking crazy, and you just thought, well, maybe if I read this scripture right here, and because the Holy Spirit going to put it in your spirit. Read this. Go to that. And if you be obedient, you see how quickly you come up out of that rut. But then if you don't be obedient, then you're going to stay there too.
Yes. And Mother Corey, you're right. We got to put the word, the capital W-O-R-D. If I fail and hurt myself in the physical, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to wash the wound off, and I'm going to put some type of ointment on it. Well, that's what happens in the spiritual realm. You put the word is your balm. The word is your ointment. And guess what you do? You keep watching it, and you keep applying more to it, and you apply more to it. You make sure it gets the air. You make sure it gets these various things in the physical. But when I apply the word to it, and I walk in that word, and I don't just put it on and then wash it off, but no, I keep applying it. I keep applying it, and you're right, and I lift up my hands, and that's one of the things we do at the nursing home when I go at the senior living. We do something called aerobics in the word. It's called aerobics in the W-O-R-D. And what we do is I got people that got paralysis. They can't lift up their arms. They can't lift up their leg. But I tell y'all, when they start rehearsing that word and I call it out to them and I say, we can do all things through Christ, and we go up halfway and then we go up the other halfway. I've had physical therapists come in there and say, how you got them to do that? I say, it's in the word. I said, because what they're doing is they are applying the word, and they know through that word, and all I do is take scriptures, and they start lifting their arms up. Paralysis.
So
we are going to thrive in Christ in 2025. We got to get out of our box. We got to get out of our box and apply the word to my situation. That's what I plan on introducing on our line. When we bring a prayer request, we're going to bring a scripture that comes along with it.
Amen.
We're going to help one another. Like you say, Mother Cora, I don't have to be crying over in the corner. I can say, you know what, I got to get this out of me. I got to let it all out. But I don't need somebody to come along and say, girl, I know what you got. No, I need you to say, Deborah. Come on, let's get it out. Don't cry it out. And now let's go see what. Go. I want you to take me to Isaiah 43:2, and tell me when you pass through the waters, Deborah, you're gonna go through this. And remember, Deborah, God is with you. When you go through the river, you ain't gonna be overwhelmed. We have to get it out. But then what we got to do is come along and put some word in. Each time I'm crying, each time the tears are coming. But guess what? I'm going to help you clear the tears. I'm going to be that shoulder you can lean on. I'm going to give you what the word says, because I can't be with you in the middle of the night, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. But I know that the word of God and that the Holy Spirit is there ministering to you. That's why I believe in giving scriptures. And you're right, Mother Cora. We got to give the word, but we got to walk in the word, you all. We got to be strengthened by the word of God, and we got to watch who we sit around with, who we talk with, who we allow to pour into our lives, Pastor Reggie.
Counselor of the
We got
God.
To. I want the word. And that's what Pastor Reggie gave me. He gave me that one word, triumphant. And I've passed that word around to so many people, triumphant. I got some situations, but I'm triumphant. I'm more than a conqueror. I got the victory.
Yes, in Jesus. Yes, Lord.
That's the word. When you know better, how you going to strengthen your brother if you don't never share nothing with him?
Come on. Come on, Mother Corey. Just like you say, Isaiah 41 and 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. Don't you dare panic, for
Amen.
I am your God.
I will strengthen you.
I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous
right hand.
Somebody on this line need to know that this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why are you fear? Why are you worried? What's going to happen? Let me tell you something. Are you a child of the King? And if the King owns everything and you are a kingdom child, don't you know God's going to provide?
Mm-hmm.
He is going to provide.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how. I can't tell you. I can't, but I know this one thing. I've seen him do it.
It's already there.
It's already there. He's doing it. But he wants you to depend on him.
That's right. Open your eyes.
Say, my God.
Open it and receive it.
Yes. Amen.
Don't know what's in the letter until you open it up and read it.
All right.
The song said, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know when you're going to do it. But I know one thing, you're going to do it. If it's aligned to your will and your way and your word, you're going to do it, Lord. Because you don't go back on your word. There's an alignment to will, way, and word.
Already finished. How are you going back on something that's already completed?
What you talking about? Amen. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Whoa.
Thank you, man. Hallelujah.
Oh. God be
glory.
Hallelujah.
Serving God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Tastes so good. Oh, taste and see.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
I promise. You don't believe it? Try it.
Yes, Lord.
I'll prove it. He'll prove it over and over again. Hallelujah. Thank you.
God's reputation is on the line.
Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. One more thing. I just thought Mary said yes to your will when the angel told her she was going to be with child. She said yes to the Lord. Some camels got up in the east. Some camels with some wise men was coming with some provision, some frankincense, myrrh, and gold. They were on the way.
Before
the child was born, because she said, "Yes, Lord, I'll do your will." Let me stop. This one that just came to me.
Amen. Yes.
So if that's what happened then, Pastor Reggie, then what will happen to us now? The word is still true. If I say yes to the Lord, to what he's calling me to do, the provision of what is needed to do what I said yes to has already been provided.
Amen.
It's already provided. Amen. Amen.
All I got to do is say yes.
That's
be
it.
Be surrendered,
Lord.
Be submitted, walk in obedience. It's already provided.
Yes, Lord.
And I can't tell God how to provide it. I can't tell God how to do it, who to do it, who to use. But what I say is, yes, Lord, yes to your will, yes to your way.
Yes.
I surrender all.
Right there.
Somebody saying something. Go ahead. Who was that?
No, I'm just agreeing. Praise God.
Hallelujah. If we don't stop, Uncle John is going, I don't know what Uncle John's going to do, but come on, Uncle John. We just come on. Good morning.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Uncle John.
Keep on taking care of the situation.
Wow.
And you really brought it this morning when you said that, this was written over 2,000 years ago, and it's happening this morning.
Amen.
Come on.
It's happening this morning.
Present. Word.
If I asked a question this morning, do you feel that the law has forgotten about you? Do you feel that way?
I know he hasn't. You better know it if he hasn't.
Y'all remember Elizabeth and Zacharias? They had prayed to God for a son. And the son wasn't delivered by Elizabeth until she was in a ripe old age. The way I'm thinking that they had
actually ripe.
But after they got old, you don't catch old people going around and say, I wanna have a baby.
All right.
That's just a thought I put on you.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Look at our lesson for today. First, we want to thank our devotionists. Opening song, Minister Deborah. Our open prayer, Pastor Reagan. Reading of the scripture, Sister Wanda. And song of praise, Brother Al. I want to thank you and you. Now, to look at this song. This is a song.
Yeah.
Verse 17 and 18. Lord, thou hast heard the desires of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. All thy ear to hear. To judge the fatherless and the oppressed. That the man of the earth may no more oppress. Our subject this morning, the Lord won't forget. You believe that this morning, the Lord won't forget. This song, song 10, it does not tell us who wrote this song. Song 9 says David wrote this song, but the writer failed to tell us who wrote song 10. But he told us that David wrote song 11. But he failed to tell us that song 10 may have been a continuous of song 9. But whosoever wrote song 10, it was a request for God's help in a world of suffering and struggle. When we send out our prayers, we only send out a request to God. A request to God for help, whatever we need. Psalm 10 and verse 2. He said, come and deal with all these proud and wicked men who viciously persecute the poor. Pour upon these men the evil they plan for others. For these men brag of all the evil lusts. They revile God and congratulate those the Lord of harvest who go in life is money. Verse 4, the wicked men, so proud and haughty, seem to think that God is dead. They wouldn't even think of looking for him because they think God is dead. 5, yet there is success in everything they do. Enemies fall before them. They do not see your punishment waiting for them. Rebuke the wicked. Verse 6. They boast that neither God nor man can ever keep them down. Hmm. Somehow, they'll find a way. Their mouths are full of profanity and lies and fraud. They're always boasting for their evil plan. Let me tell you this morning, the Lord will not forget. Psalm 10 tells us, and why is it important to know? One of the things that it tells us that humanity have an evil plan. Humanity does not have a plan that's going to treat everybody right. Humanity loves those who you want to love and forget about the rest. Humanity have a strange way about love. It say love don't love nobody because sometimes I believe humanity doesn't love his or herself. If you want real love, Jesus is the way. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that the world should have everlasting life. Lord, yeah. But I got news for you this morning. Don't worry about your enemies this morning. Because the Lord won't forget. Won't forget about you. If there was a contest on who could do the most good or who could do the most evil, evil would be tied for first place. But I heard the softer say, fret not thyself because neither be thy image against the workers of iniquity. Thus soon be cut off, cut down like grass, and wither like Well, brother teacher, what is the widows and the offering going to do? Now, the homeless. Tell the widows and the offering this morning. For all have parents. Because I heard Jesus say, our Father, which art in heaven.
Amen.
Homeless, that one day we shall all have a home. I heard Jesus say that in my Father's house. It was not so. I would have told you, I'll go and prepare a place for you. The Lord won't forget. The Lord won't forget about you. Amen.
And the church said amen.
Amen.
And the church said amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord won't forget. Amen. Uncle John, we just thank you so much for coming alongside us and what an awesome word this morning, as well as an awesome word on last Sunday as you spoke on behalf of the ministry when we were downtown.
Amen.
Again, what an awesome word on today. Amen. I pray for you. We pray for you that God will continue to download to you these messages for us, and that, and because they are recorded, we can go back and listen to them and get nuggets from them. And we again are going to share the recording information with everybody. It's real easy for you to be able to do. You don't have to put in any numbers. You just go and click on one button and the recording comes up. So it is an awesomeness to have both you, Mother Cora, Mother Neal, our seniors that come and support us. And just it's amazing what you all bring to us and just enlighten us from the word of God. And I'm so glad that you all don't bring your opinion or what you think, but you bring us word that we can count on, lean on, depend on, and go back to. So thank you again, Uncle John, for that word this morning. The Lord won't forget. Amen, amen. I'm going to ask if there are any last comments from Pastor Reggie. Pastor Reggie, any last comments
this morning that you would like to share as we prepare to ready ourselves to go into the administering of the Lord's Supper the first Sunday in January of 2025. Any last comments, sir, from you?
Amen. I just echo what you said and just thank Uncle John and Mother Cora and all the saints that come on the line, the minister and son, Brother Al. Happy birthday again. I know you're probably getting tired of it and never going to say it, but we want to bless God for you and Sister Wanda and all the saints that come on the line, Sister JJ, all the ones that you mentioned. So it's just a beauty to know that we can come together in one accord on the line, bound by the Spirit of God, and we are all walking in Christ, encouraging one another. I'm going to read this psalm. I hope I can read it every day because something about this psalm I want to hold on to for a while. So that's just my last thoughts on it. Dr. Deb, I just want to hold on to the words that you all have shared today in this psalm, and it's because it's so powerful. I think the Word of God is probably the best psychology book in every kind of book you want it to be, scientific book, science, whatever. It has everything in it. And when we talk about people, it talks about us. We see ourselves. We see the world. We see the wicked. We see our hearts. So I just want to continue to let God work on me as hopefully he'll work on all of us. And like you said, we thank God for saints who travel the road longer than us. When they talk and they speak about God, it lets us know that we're on the journey following them on this journey. And we'll continue to go forth in our faith just as they're holy going to their faith. So thank you, Mother Corey. Thank you, Uncle John, for your faith and your diligence to God. Amen. Amen. That's all.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor Reggie, for coming alongside us on today. And as you say, as we read this psalm over and over again and linking it to even to Psalm 9, is that as we look to the coming days, isn't it God is just the mastermind of God and that he's in control, even in the writing of lessons and us taking this route, is that with the coming days, we need to be able to look at this psalm and see that God is in control and that he is the King of Kings and nothing gets by him. And there will be justice for all. And as I say, these coming days, this is a scripture that should encourage all of us that God is in control. God sees. God is going to do something about it in his divine timing and in his way. We are just to rest in him. Excuse me. We are to rest in him. We are to trust him. We are to have an active faith in him. So thank all of you again for joining with us on today. We're getting ready to prepare to go in to administer our Lord's Supper. We look for you, if you're able to come back and join us on this evening in our continuance of our praise and prayer and teaching to encourage us to carry out Matthew 28, 19 through 20. As we align to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, the love that we are to do it in and allowing he, Holy Spirit, to work in us as well as the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23, come through us. So thank you again. Again, we invite you to come back this evening as well. Want to congratulate Sister Wanda again. I think she said this was even 11, I think her 11th grandchild that was born. His name is King, and I think he weighed in. Amen. He weighed in a little bit over 4 pounds, 4 pounds. So we are looking from a ministerial perspective as to how when King gets a little bit older, but working with his mother to provide them a constitution, a manual, a Bible that she can begin to read to King and so he can grow up in the family business. And when he's old enough, he can make the decision in terms of becoming a disciple of Christ. So we have to remember our children. And this lesson certainly speaks to that as we can minister to them as change agents. We are divine change agents. And we are to remember, as Uncle John said this morning, the Lord won't forget. So, again, let us prepare ourselves to get ready for the Lord's Supper. I'm going to ask if Mother Cora would come and close us out with prayer and open us up with song as we go into our second half. Is Brother Al on the line?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen, amen. Brother Al, we're going to ask if you would close us out with song in our second half, and Mother Cora would close us out with prayer and open us up in song in our second half. Amen. Mother Cora.
Psalm 86 says, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I might fear your name. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your joy, your peace, your love. We thank you for just allowing this line to be open where some of your believers can come and just share your word and get a better understanding of what you are saying to each of us, that we each one may go forth and spread the good news. Thanking you for all that you do for each and every one of us. We know that if it was not for you, Father, sending your son into the world to go to the cross for sinners, we know that this would not be. So we just want to thank you and give your name the praise and the glory and the honor that is so deserving to you. We thank you. We praise you. We will continue to ever give your name the praise. It's always in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
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 Mother Cora, if you would open us up with song for our Lord's Supper.
Down at the cross where the Savior died, down where from cleansing from sin I cry, there to his heart was the blood applied, singing glory to his name. I'm singing glory to his name's precious name. Glory to his name, precious name. There to my heart was the blood applied. I'm singing glory to his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Mother Cora. As we come to the word this morning and prepare ourselves as we've come to the table of our Heavenly Father, I want us to go to John chapter 3, verse number 16, and it reads, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. As we come to the Lord's table, we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, and it reads, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. This morning, as we come to the first Sunday in the first month of the year of 2025, we come to the Lord's Supper table this morning because we know that we are to remember what the Lord did for us. He went to Calvary in our place, paying a debt that we owed that we could not pay. It is because of the finished work at Calvary that we can come to this table this morning because we have received Christ as our personal Savior. We have made the Romans 10, 9, and 10 sincere declaration. We are connected to the true vine, John 15. We know that he, Holy Spirit, dwells in us, Acts 2 and 38. And yes, this morning, not only does he dwell inside of us, but we are called to carry out the mandate of Matthew 28, 19 through 20. As we look and remember the Lord's Supper, we know that it is a divine command because Christ said, do this. We know that it is a blessed privilege. The table we come to is the Lord's table and not ours. And Jesus is our host. We are invited to his table by his grace. We who sin against him and dishonor him are welcome to his table. And what a privilege we have to be welcome to the table of the Lord. We know that the Lord's Supper is a necessary memorial. The Lord's Supper reminds us of the cost of our salvation. It reminds us of the price Christ paid for us. It reminds us of his faithfulness to go to the cross in our place. Yes, the Lord's Supper is a willing testimony. By taking part in this service, we are willingly testifying to others our belief in Christ Jesus being the Savior of the world and our personal Savior. And I don't know about you all, but I don't mind being a witness. I don't mind being a testimony, for I know what the Lord did for me. It was because he went to Calvary. It's because he died for me, because of his shed blood. And my receiving him as my personal Savior, I don't mind telling the world that I'm a testimony of what the Lord has done for me. Yes, the Lord's Supper is a humbling confession. We are confessing that we cannot save ourselves. We are not worthy of his grace. And yes, we are admitting that without Christ, we are nothing. The Lord's Supper is for imperfect people, and perfect people don't need it. But we are made perfect and righteous through our Heavenly Father. So let us come to the table this morning. And knowing that it is an act of faith, the Lord's Supper not only looks back to the cross, but it also looks forward to the crown. Yes, one day we will be crowned. Forward to his return. He said he was coming back. He said he was going to go away and prepare a place for us, but he was going to come back and get us. And yes, you all, even though we can look back to the cross where the shed blood for the remission of our sins, we can look to the future of the crowning of us as disciples, ambassadors, but we can look forward to his return. Our hope this morning is in his return. When Jesus left the table, he went out and he died for us. I want to remind us lastly that it is an awesome warning to eat the bread and drink of the cup in an unworthy manner. It carries a grave warning this morning never to be nonchalant. We do not take it for granted as to what the Lord did for us. We do not take it for granted how he loved us. We do not take it for granted that he stayed there, even though he was taunted, even though he was pierced in his side, even though he was beaten, as though he was not even recognizable. Let us know this morning, never we are to be nonchalant or make a mockery of the elements, and we are never to be frivolous and careless, but rather we are to be focused and committed. This morning, as we look to Luke 22, and we see what the word of God has to say. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another, which of them it could be who was going to do this. This morning, as we come to the Lord's table, we ask now that you would take the bread that represents his body. Yes, his body that went to Calvary in our place, that hung there, stayed there, nailed to the cross just for us. He was our sacrifice. He was the sacrifice that satisfied God. And yes, this morning we get an opportunity to recognize. We get an opportunity to tell him thank you. Let us eat this morning. Now let us take the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine is a symbol of the shed blood of Jesus for the remission of our sins. Let us drink. The song sung by the old church used to be, I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. He died there on Calvary for each of us to have an opportunity to be able to see the Heavenly Father. And I want to give us a reminder today, until he comes back or till he calls us home, we have a role and a responsibility to do. Yes, while we are here in this earthly realm, he's told us there in Matthew 28, he tells us in 19, verse 19 and 20, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Yes, we are commissioned to go. We are commissioned to make disciples. We are commissioned to baptize them first in the word of God and baptize in water. We are also commissioned to teach them to observe all that the Lord has commanded us that is based on the biblical principles and the truth of his word. And keep in mind, my sisters and my brothers, keep in mind, kingdom citizens and ambassadors, you are never alone. You will never be abandoned, and you will always be a concern of God. So let us go. Brother Al, if you would come and close us out in song on today as we continue to do what the Lord has called us to do. Amen. Brother Al.
At last and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? Would he devote thy sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen.
May the grace of God and sweet communion of his Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now and forever. Let us all say amen. 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 Thank you so much. We look to see you, if you're able to come back this evening, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 6 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, for our praise, prayer, preaching, and equipping the saints of God to carry out Matthew 28:19-20. Good morning.
Good morning. Pastor Kiefer will be bringing the word, so please come back.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.